Gary and Maratta Mornings.
Social Studies.
Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
9 o'clock is here. It's time for some Social Studies with Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Let's jump in to Twitter/X, @epically_Maratta. That is where our Jarrett Carlin posts questions every day, and I get to pull my favorite answers and read them on the air for all of you. How fun is that? We're starting with a less fun topic, the Arizona Coyotes no longer being the Arizona Coyotes in maybe hours. We don't know yet, but Gambo says that the formal approval of the sale should come today. So let's start with the Coyotes. What do you think is the number one reason that they did not work out here in Arizona?
Bad ownership.
Yep.
That's number
by
one.
By a mile.
That's 1 through 10, I think.
Is there one owner that was most offensive to you above the rest?
Yeah, I'm not sure there was a good one anywhere in that patch. I think maybe Jerry Moyes gets a break because he was kind of talked in to taking the hockey team while Steve Ellman took the Westgate Mall, and you might as well have taken a lighter to $350 million.
So how many owners total were there from beginning to end?
Who was the original?
Richard Burke was the original.
That's right.
That was the threatening to Portland. Then it went to Steve Ellman and Wayne Gretzky. Then it went to Jerry Moyes. Then it went to
The NHL.
Then it went to... Then there was almost the Ball Silly. And then there was the Barraway crew.
And then
the Morello crew.
And the Morello crew. Am I missing one? I don't know.
Oh, man. That is... And that's sort of a time period. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 28 years.
Mm-hmm. When you consider, Sarah, that the on-ice product was more formidable and competitive under NHL ownership with all of the restrictions that they had on them.
Yeah.
That says a lot about the ownership history of the Coyotes in Arizona.
They averaged 4.5 years per owner.
Jeez.
Over the course of 28 years.
Yeah.
It's an Olympic cycle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going to our listener responses, what they think the number one reason overall, there were many reasons that they ultimately ended up not working out, but the number one reason overall,
here.
Yes. Al Thompson says, location, location, location. If Los Arcos had not blown up, the team would still be there. Sousa Q says, elitism and ignorance by owners. All wanted glory and the power of owning a team. None had the grit to educate themselves on the long game. Israel Higuera says, Tempe voters. They won the $2 billion Powerball and then decided to rip it up and throw away the winning ticket. Wow. Javier Ramirez says, only transplants in Arizona like hockey. In Phoenix, there were only two known places to learn to ice skate and play hockey, Metro Center and Tower Plaza. One of those was gone by the time the hockey team in the Valley was a thought. Brian, similar, but he doesn't say transplant specifically. He just says the majority of Arizona fans don't watch or enjoy hockey. That's a man, says, I had season tickets when the Coyotes were downtown. I did make it, but my attendance was cut way back when they moved to Glendale. My work schedule has to come first, or I can't pay for tickets. And then More Than a Conqueror says at the end of the day, the box office speaks louder than anything else. The Yotes had not drawn flies in ages. All right, let's get to, last one from Daryl Lee. Let's do this one. The biggest reason the Coyotes didn't work out here, Matt Ishbia isn't a hockey fan. A lot of people were hoping he could slide in and save the Coyotes last second.
People calling for him to swoop in, and others are just, there's others that have anger towards Matt Ishbia because the Coyotes are leaving.
It's a little unfair.
Yeah, it's a lot unfair.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Anger because he doesn't want him to play at Footprint Center? Or
that, or just not going to plug net $1 billion for
the
hockey
listen,
team.
The one you should be mad at is Robert Sarver. People will tell you that back then, had he embraced that idea, they would have torn down America West Arena and rebuilt a dual-purpose arena where the convention center is Kitty Corner. I don't know if that'd be fact, but that is, I have heard that. But Robert Sarver wanted no part of it.
Nope.
Which I guess is his prerogative.
It was.
But he wanted no part of it.
All right, on the note of the Suns, let's move on to the Suns-Timberwolves playoff series that gets going Saturday in Minnesota. Let's fill in the blank, guys. The Suns will win this series if blank.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is if they can keep Anthony Edwards in check. I don't think they're going to do it for the duration of the series, but more often than not, if you can keep him in check, you prove you can win, and they've done a great job so far.
Yeah, I think that if Bradley Beal stays at this level, if Bradley Beal makes this a super team, I'll go there. Or if they stay healthy, because I'm very confident that they're going to win this series.
Like the sound of that. Getting to our listener responses. The Suns will win this series if they focus, defend, and play like it's the last game, says Griffin W. Reigns. Jared's Bean says the Suns will win this series if they all play the way Bradley Beal has been playing. Playing with heart, giving it their all every single game. The role players need to step up every night, and the three-pointers must connect. Dave Leonard says the Suns will win this series if the Timberwolves decide to take their traditional first-round playoff exit like they have every single playoff appearance except 2004.
That is true.
20 years ago, wow.
1989 they started. They've only had one season where they've won a playoff series.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. The Suns will beat the T-Wolves if they don't suck like they have all year, says Orville Schredenbacher.
Orville Schredenbacher.
Like that.
That's got to be a guitar player.
Or somebody who works out.
Yeah, that too.
Or somebody who likes grating cheese.
Yeah.
On popcorn.
Or destroying documents.
A whole variety here.
Yes.
All right, the Suns will beat the T-Wolves in the playoffs if they win fourth quarters and keep the turnovers down, says Summer. A lot of people pointed to turnovers specifically. If D-Book has a pulse, from Levi.
I like social studies class clown's response.
Well, let's hear it.
If they don't suddenly move to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. And then last one from MC Ren and Stimpy. The Suns will beat the Timberwolves if the Suns make Gummy Gobert play perimeter defense, if they stomp on the ant and find more than one way to skin the cat.
Ooh, creative. I like it.
Feisty. I like it. We'll skip the D-backs question, I think. Yeah, we can return to that tomorrow or later on in the show.
Okay.
Whoop-kay. I've decided.
No frivolity on today's edition of Social Studies?
None. All business. Just like this show. Come on.
Yeah.
What? You wanted a food question?
Good point, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who participates in Social Studies. At @Bickley_Murata on X. At Bickley and Murata on Instagram. A fledgling community there over on Instagram. Coming up next, our very own Luke Lipinski has been part of the Coyotes broadcast team for quite some time. We will get his thoughts after the final game in the desert for the Yotes. Next, it's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Mornings live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on this Thursday, a day after the Arizona Coyotes wrapped up their regular season and wrapped up their stay in the desert, .. for now, **. It's hard to say asterisk three times. Joining us now, the guy you'll hear on the airwaves from 10 to 2 today. You hear him every day here on Arizona Sports, and a 16-year member of the Coyotes radio broadcast team.
Wow.
Luke Lipinski. Luke, you're only like 23.
Yeah,
how long
have
you been on the broadcast for 16
started
years?
When I was like 7, yeah. I didn't realize it was 16 years till that was pointed out to me last night. But now I was like counting on my fingers as we were doing the show. And I'm like, hey, you might actually be right.
Look, we talked to Todd Walsh earlier. He shared a lot of his emotions. And I know you've shared a lot of your feelings on this whole situation with your audience from 10 to 2. But give it to our audience here. What do you, now that it's complete, it's final, what are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm still in that stage where my first thought is the fans, because you guys have seen this, right? I mean, as a Coyotes fan, you've either been beaten down on social media by other fan bases, you've been told you don't exist, you've been made fun of for existing when you do show up to the games, but more than that, you've been asked to buy into a perpetual rebuild. And the cruel irony of this team's going to be good. It really, they've got Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther. I don't know that they've ever had players like that. And they still have to pan out, right? Yeah. Cooley's only 19. Gunther, I think, is only 21. But, I mean, Gunther's going to be a 40-goal scorer. And Cooley might even be better, yeah. as it turns out, all around. They haven't had players like that. They really, I mean, going back to maybe Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk, but those weren't even guys that you drafted. They, you know, they came over. So it's going to be real tough when the Utahs or whatever they're called, if that team makes the playoffs next year, that's going to be like a real additional salt in the wound, no pun intended with the salt.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's funny. When you take a look at the hope that they may resurface, or that a hockey team may resurface, where do you land on that? What's your level of optimism?
I go back and forth on that because I grew up in Seattle, and the Sonics were a huge deal in Seattle, and for however many years, 17 years, the NBA has been like, hey, we're going to get you a team, don't worry, and it's been 17 years, so I'm always wary of just like assuming that's going to happen. But I really have pretty consistently believed Gary Bettman wants an NHL team here. And even just kind of hearing stuff that isn't directly that, just kind of piecing things together from various people, I really don't think he necessarily wanted to move this team. And so I do think that he is going to really attempt to get a team back here. We were talking after the game last night. It's like, you look at a team like Vegas and the success they've had, but there's still really not any players in the NHL from Vegas yet. It takes time. And same with Seattle. But there's 10 to 15 like really good players in the NHL now from Scottsdale and Phoenix in that area.
Yeah, and we're talking with Luke Lipinski. You can hear him from 10 to 2. One of the questions that I have still is, you know, this was obviously looming for a long time. It was always kind of the cloud hanging over this franchise's head. Are they going to be here long term? Where is their long term home? And the actual end was very sudden. Why do you think that was? Why do you think with this pending land auction coming up on June 27th, it wasn't we're drawing the line in the sand, this is it, you get one more year. Was it just Mullet Arena? Was it Marty Walsh's comments? Was it a combination of everything? The influence of Ryan Smith in this whole thing?
Not paying your hotel bills on the road?
I guess that has something to do with it.
Just give me a multiple choice and I'll check off many of them. I do think the biggest one ultimately was Mullet Arena, in the sense that even if you got this land and built this arena, which I still do think the NHL wants now, the more I've kind of looked into this, but if you did that, you're in Mullet Arena for another 3 years. And it is weird, because if the Tempe vote had passed last year, you still would have been in Mullet Arena for a couple years. But it really seems like the Players Association, and not so much players on the Coyotes, but like visiting players would come in and be like, this is kind of weird, I don't want to have to do this. I'm surprised on some level that was enough to push this all the way to the point we're at now, but it does feel like that's really where it came from, of they just couldn't sell to the Players Association and everybody else playing in a college arena for three more years, even if the land vote goes through.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so how weird was it that Shane Doan's retirement banner shows up last night? What is Dale Howard Chuck's jersey going to show up next?
Weird. Really weird. I had heard rumblings of something like that happening, but until last night, I truly did not believe it until I walked down the hall, Shane Doan's holding the banner, and I'm like, well, I guess that was true. Very strange.
But it's totally believable for this organization and the history that it's gone through.
Yeah.
Little things like, well, that's not even a little thing. That's a big thing.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. Okay, so I want to ask you about this, because Bobby McManaman, who covered the team for many, many years alongside me at the Republic, tweeted out yesterday that, okay, I'm going to let this go since they're leaving. I used to smoke Marlboros with Nikolai Habibulin in between periods at America West Arena, which is perfect. And if you knew Bobby Mac, perfectly in character.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's it. I mean,
what story do you have to throw into the pot?
Oh, man. I'll just say this. Everything was so weird last night, and I saw that post by Bobby Mac, and I'm like, nah, that tracks. That's about right.
Don't have to fact check that one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember, this was one of the early years I was there, and Daniel Carcillo, this was, I don't think I'm giving anything, hopefully not giving anything away that shouldn't be said. And I don't remember who did it, but he was kind of getting in everybody's face in the locker room, just kind of messing around. I mean, the characters this team had when they had Daniel Carcillo and then Keith Yandel and Paul Bissonnette and Ilya Pryskalov, it's amazing that wasn't a reality show. But Carcillo was just kind of going around, and one of the big players on the team just picked him up and just dropped him right into the laundry bin, the dirty laundry, just head first. And Daniel Carcillo was a tough dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not somebody that you...
Holy cow.
So it was all kind of like in fun, It wasn't, but it was just one of those things. Like, the some of the stuff you see in the locker room, especially in a hockey locker room, like, those guys will just, they're just all over each other all the time.
Yeah,
like,
they're
just constant ribbing. Yeah.
How about the time that somebody dropped off a package at Daniel Breer's house and said, "Is your dad home?" and refused to believe that that dude was old enough to be a professional hockey player.
Not only that, but probably already had about 5 kids at that time.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, I think I could probably give you about 2 hours of Ilya Bryzgalov stories.
Oh,
honestly.
My goodness. Yeah. My goodness. I remember Nikolai Habibul, and I remember this. There was a story going around that there were like Russian hockey players were always across the league were being shaken down by the Russian mafia for payment. Yeah. That if you were a Russian hockey player in the NHL, this is something you had to do. It's something you had to deal with. I remember asking Nikolai about that. Yeah, I know, talk about that. Oh, he was scared out of his mind. It
was
the subject.
Was Bobby Mack sitting there like, "Hey, can you pass that cigarette?"
Luke Lipinski joining us in studio. With all that you saw, 16 years, and you didn't miss many games. You were there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Fondest memory during that time, and maybe your most frustrating thing that you'll carry into the future with you?
The fondest memory, I know a lot of people have said this, and it's I could give you 100 probably, but the Shane Doan hat trick, because of the way it happened and because of the build up to that, and then sort of the addendum a couple weeks ago where Josh Doan almost got it in his first game when it took his dad 1161, I think it was. Yeah. And every second of that 1160 first game.
Yeah, literally. Just fed pass after pass, yeah, after pass.
Wouldn't let him get off the ice.
Right.
You know, all the run to the Western Conference Finals, I'll never forget after they lost to LA in overtime. You know how available Shane Doan is all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Always. Even last night when he's trying to watch his son play his final game in Arizona. Greatest dude ever. But people interviewing him about Dustin Brown, and he was just staring off into the distance. It was like a movie.
Look, he was here for a long time. Nobody ever saw Shane Doan like that after a game.
No.
It was...
It was kind of inspiring.
Yeah.
he was
crazy.
The frustrating thing is just there's been a lot of misinformation in the past. Like, look, this isn't Toronto, obviously, right? But the idea that hockey is not big here, the Coyotes have had their problems, and that there's no way to deny that. But the sport of hockey is doing really, really well here. It's just more at the grassroots level, which is, I think, ultimately what the NHL cared about.
What are you going to do with your free time?
I don't know. You guys need a producer?
But, yes.
Wait a second.
Yes. We'll take you up on that. When
Wait a
start?
Minute.
Do you have a pen?
Do you have a pen?
That's your first question.
Most of the time I have a pen.
Backpack and a pen? You're hired.
Okay.
Well, that was easy. All right, Jarrett, you can go to Utah.
I don't need the white belt, but a pen would be handy.
Luke,
well done, Sarah.
Excellent
well
work done. For all those years on the radio, man.
Thanks, buddy.
And you're one of the people that I think about with this. And I was going through it last night and seeing the pictures of the fans getting emotional, but hearing Todd Walsh talk and Matt McConnell and Tyson Nash, and you've been a part of it for just as long as those guys. So, man, I'm sorry to see this come to an end for you.
Right.
Yeah. I traded Pearl Jam lyrics with Todd Walsh for a couple hours before the game to describe.
Fantastic.
It's amazing how much Pearl Jam foresaw this if you go back and look at their lyrics.
It's like, what? Give me a couple.
Well, I mean, there was Escape is Never the Safest Path. That's certainly one.
Remember the track, The Coyotes Are Moving to Utah?
Yeah, that was the 11th track on 10, right?
Yeah.
It was a hidden track.
No, you can read meaning into any Pearl Jam lyric. That's what I learned yesterday.
Yeah. I can't find a better hockey city. Yes. Oh, that's not a lyric. Yeah.
It was implied, right, though.
It was implied.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Luke.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it. You'll hear Luke and Ron Wolfley 10 to 2 every day here on Arizona Sports. Coming up next, we'll roll out an edition of Mock My World. It's Pickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Okay, we're going to our website, arizonasports.com, which is full of Coyotes coverage from last night's finale at Mullet Arena. If you have not yet checked it out, you really should. We have photos, videos, game stories, column from Dan Bickley. Just, it brings you in the building if you were not able to afford to get into the building. That's most of us. So that's on arizonasports.com. So is our poll question for today. Looking at the Suns and their first round series against the Timberwolves, we are asking Dan Bickley and Vince Murata, which non-Big Three member will be the biggest piece for the Suns beating the Timberwolves in round one. Okay, so non-big three. Grayson Allen, Yusuf Nurkic, Royce O'Neal, or somebody else?
Ooh. What do you think, Vinny? B, Yusuf Nurkic?
I think it's Nurk.
Yeah, let's vote there.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Oh, hey, 60% of our voters agree. 60% say Big Nurk will be key outside of the big three for a series win. 32% are looking at Grayson Allen. 6% say Royce O'Neal. 2% say someone else. Bull Bull!
Yeah, that's the Bull Bull high.
Yeah, of
right
course.
There.
Always.
That is today's Anderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
Bickley and Murata. Mock my world.
Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? Stop it. You just didn't do it again.
Are you mocking me?
Mock my world is back. And last week, you know, off the comments of Devin Booker that raised some eyebrows after a bad loss to the Clippers, he said, hey, we got another one tomorrow. We're chilling. We use chilling, cold, frozen as our topic, our realm, if you will, for Mock My World. And Jared Carlin, by the strength of his number one overall pick, ice cream.
For sure.
Can't it is a worthy cream. Number one pick.
Because let's face it, the rest of your team sucked.
The North Pole?
Yeah. I've never been there. Not going.
Is it even?
38.8% of the vote for Jared. He also had cold pizza, gross, and frozen. Popular movie. I finished second with 24.3% of the vote. Sarah, 22.6. Bick, 14.3% of the
wow.
votes. Today, with the Arizona Coyotes basically defunct. Ugh. We're going down the road of defunct in sports. Things that don't exist in the world of sports that we wish still did.
Things you miss in the world of sports. Yeah. Things that are no longer available.
Yeah. Right? In reverse order of last week's results, Bick, you'll have the first pick. Sarah, second. I will go third. Jarrett will go fourth. It is a four-round snake-style draft.
So I'm first. My first pick will be affordable spring training tickets.
Oh. Ooh. Ain't that
honestly.
The truth? Now, you could still find, I know what you're talking about. You could still find like $2 lawn seats in Goodyear. But you're talking about like being able to have a seat and watch the game.
Yeah.
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 A beer or two.
The thing that made parking. It different than the regular season is that it was affordable for the whole family to come and just be close to the action, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So does that take affordability period off the table? Because I had that down on my list.
I mean, I would say go more specific with...
Okay. Yeah. I can do that. All right. That will not be my first pick. I'm going to go with...
Just turn it into things we wish we could afford.
Things we wish we could afford. Let's do a 72-round draft of things we wish we could afford. Yeah. I am going to take the voice of Al McCoy.
Ooh. That's a good one.
That's a good one. It's only been 1 year without Al McCoy.
Listen, with respect to John Bloom, you do a great job, but I really miss that voice.
I'm going to go like deep into my own archive here. Everybody, I've talked about my love for the original United States Football League.
Mm-hmm.
The USFL, because it represented competition for the NFL. It wasn't like a feeder system. It was competition. I miss the USFL so bad.
Have you given the UFL a chance?
No, it's not competition. It's a minor league. I'm not going to watch. I got better things to do than to watch minor league football.
Well, let's have a draft of the better things you have to do than watch minor league football.
Look, I'm not sitting here claiming I have a robust life. I don't. But I still have better things
than
to
that.
Do than watch minor league football.
Got it.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm going to go with regional-based college football conferences.
Regionality and college football.
And I'm going with... something that's romantically talked about a lot by old-timer baseball fans. Scheduled doubleheaders.
I like it.
What do you like about them?
It's fun to have two games in a row back-to-back one day.
That's a lot of time in a baseball stadium.
It's true.
Poking holes. I love it. Is it too early to go to the reason for this draft?
No, do it.
I'm going to go with the Coyotes.
All right.
Pandering pick, I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's our inspiration.
Recency bias.
Okay, I am going to go for my next pick. I'm going to go with the original intro video at Diamondbacks games at Bank One Ballpark. Remember where the rattlesnake coils around the ball, then hits it with its tail?
Original D-backs intro.
Intro video, yes.
Okay.
Makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
I'm gonna post kickoff returns in the NFL and nickel beer night.
I've never had the pleasure.
God, that's old school.
I would like to.
That kickoff returns, I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, they made a new rule this year to try to bring it back. Maybe I could wait off.
Yeah. You might get your wish pick. You might get that back this year.
Yeah, true.
We shall see.
Back to me already, huh?
Yes.
I am going to go with the late Keith Jackson calling college football.
Oh, Nelly.
College football.
Doctor.
I am going to go. There's so much to pick from, and I can't. Nothing's sticking in my head. I'm going to go with. January 1st. Bowl games being the day. January 1st.
Appointment.
That's a good
viewing.
One.
That was like, you could schedule your year around. You'd wake up hungover and just be able to sit in front of the TV all day and watch football.
Yeah.
And now you get random games on January 1st.
My uncle used to literally set up 3 TVs.
Really?
And, you know, before you could.
Me and my friends used to set up 2, but we never had the 3rd. Jared, you got 2 picks.
All right, I am going to go with Jerry Colangelo, team owner.
That's a solid pick.
And I'm going to go with something from my youth that I really miss because I loved it. And affordable collectible baseball cards.
Mmm.
Collected for fun, trading. You can buy packs and boxes, and you didn't have to wait online at 3 a.m. and then keep them in their sleeves.
I was one of those people too, but part of the reason why I collected, I loved baseball and I loved the cards themselves. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, I got to the age where I'm like, this is an investment. This is going to pay for my future.
Yeah.
And when I did it, it was the worst possible time for baseball card collecting because they were so overproduced, they're worth nothing.
Mm.
You were probably in that same boat, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with... it still technically exists, I guess. Would you allow the agate page in a newspaper?
Sure.
Do they still exist? I haven't held a newspaper
what
in so
is
long.
That? What is that?
It's the page in the sports section that had all the box scores and statistics on it.
I'd allow that because even though it technically exists, it's pretty much gone from the... Everybody opens up the newspaper to check the box score.
It doesn't hit the same way.
I would subscribe to a website that had the agate on just one page.
Oh, just for the look and feel of
it? Yes, yes.
Aw, I love that. Okay, my final pick, I am going to take U of A basketball's iconic cactus court. They have not had for quite some time.
U of A fans love that court. They love that logo.
Mm-hmm. A lot of nostalgia attached to that.
Oh, it screams early 80s.
Yeah, right?
I love that logo. Yeah. That's my favorite U of A logo.
Vic, you got the final pick.
World Series day games.
On my list, too. Such a good one. I remember being in junior high and teachers wheeling in school's one television.
It was fantastic.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That,
you
I lived
watch
that too.
At
I
school?
Lived that. Yes.
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 Or
that actually
if you
happened.
Watch it, sneaking a radio in.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Those were the days. That's a great pick, especially in the fourth round. All right, things we miss in the world of sports. Vic misses cheap spring training tickets, kickoff returns, 5-cent beer night, World Series day games.
Mm.
Sarah misses the voice of Al McCoy, original D-backs video intro.
Keith Jackson.
And the cactus court at U of A. I miss the USFL. The Coyotes. January 1st bowl games being the end-all, be-all, and the newspaper agate page in the sports section. And Jarrett misses regional conference, college football conferences, doubleheaders team owner Jerry Colangelo, and affordable baseball cards. It's quite a mix of things to choose from.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get this up on Twitter.
Lots to miss.
Good luck abbreviating, Jarrett, as we put this up on X, and you determine the winner of Mock My World at @Bickley_Murata. Some final thoughts straight ahead on this Thursday edition here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, for one last time. The Black Keys howling for you. Arizona Coyotes goal slash victory song.
Yep.
I thought this was rock and roll number two the way it started.
It has got a kind of that vibe to it a little bit.
It does. Dun, dun. I don't think we can play Gary Glitter legally anymore.
Oh, boy. Whoops.
Yeah.
He's been canceled.
Right?
Yes.
Should be canceled.
Yes, absolutely.
Have to Google what happened there.
This obviously was not the original goal song for the Coyotes. That was Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon.
Mm-hmm.
Classic song. This is way better for the Coyotes' purposes, don't you think?
I don't know. I was a big fan of Warren Zevon.
They did that Joe Satriani song for a long time,
they did.
Too, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember now, but I saw on Twitter yesterday when people were recounting their memories of the Coyotes, somebody talked about the Werewolves of London being the original goal-scoring song, and that person had encountered Warren Zevon and told him about it and asked, did he know about it? And his response was, what the blank are you talking about?
Is that really?
I'm going to sue them. No. Man, sad day. Coyotes playing their last game in the desert last night. Black Keys, Alan, for you, today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
A little programming note for you. We are 1 week away out from the NFL draft. Next Thursday's first round action. We'll have full draft coverage not only all next week, but Thursday night. But Wolf and Luke, during their show today, the Monty Austinfort Jonathan Gannon press conference, the pre-draft press conference, they will have that at noon for you, so you can listen to that right here on Arizona Sports. Sometimes I'll plug, great moments and New York sports radio.
Right.
Are you ready for the first ever edition of Really Awkward Moments in Sports Press Conference History?
Oh, please.
We go to Indianapolis, Indiana, where Caitlin Clark was introduced to the fan base as a new member of the Indiana Fever, number one pick, college basketball superstar. Greg Doyle is a columnist for the Indianapolis Star, and woo, to quote Keith Jackson, fumble! Oh, come on, computer.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, I'll lead you this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, the question is...
Ooh, that was awkward.
It was very awkward.
Yeah, that's...
Explain what was...
Okay, at the very beginning, he made that heart gesture with his two hands.
That she does to her family after every game.
Right. So as a guy that has patterned himself as being like the gatekeeper of Indianapolis sports, a very, very weird thing to say that came off as 100% creep.
Yes. It didn't take very long. Well, I mean, the reaction it got was universal, like, ugh, this is gross. And it was different levels of grossness depending on the people that you read the reactions from. Greg Doyle posted, today, in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature hand-heart thing. My comment afterward was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better. And he promised a column on it as well.
Yeah. Well, and people took offense to that. Okay, you're going to monetize that. You're going to turn that into...
turn it into
content. Turn this into you, about you even more. Yeah, it's a really, really bad look from a guy that is, he fashions himself as kind of being an outsider in the business, if you will. Does things a little differently, right?
Yes.
And he hustles a lot.
He does.
But that is just grotesque.
And the fact that so much of that building laughed at that? No, let that dude die in awkward silence.
It could also have been an awkward laugh, like, I can't believe he just did that.
Yeah, does happen.
But that, yes, it certainly does, especially when you're trying to kind of minimize the situation and move it along and not make a scene.
Right,
but that felt louder than awkward laughter.
Yeah. If you want more awkward laughter, be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 9:30 for the Sports Cafe.
When Jared Carlin harasses a colleague.
Look, I've... Yeah.
So gross. Welcome to Indy, Caitlin.
Yeah. She's like, man, can I go to Phoenix instead?
And better news, apparently she's about to sign an 8-figure deal with Nike. So.
And she's getting her own signature shoe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make that money, girl.
Man, I can't believe she had to take a pay cut to go to the WNBA.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Who was that? Who said that?
Darren Revelle, who's still fighting people on that subject.
Well, he said that she could have signed these same endorsement deals and got NIL money if she would have stayed in college.
Everyone be normal to your female colleagues today.
He's going
to
be the first.
It's not too much to ask.
I don't think they're ever going to give a college athlete a signature shoe. I'm sorry. I just don't think that's ever going to happen. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Alan Horton and Derek Hall for joining us, and Todd Walsh. Great stuff from him. If you missed it, you can go back, listen to it on the app or on the podcast at ArizonaSports.com. And Luke Lipinski. I forgot to write in Luke. He's coming up next with Wolf. We'll catch you tomorrow.